have 2 hours to get there, and we can make it in one.
Assuming we can find out what's wrong with the car and have it repaired. Now, you'd better get out and look at it yourself.
Well, what good would that do? All I know about a car is that you put gasoline in it and it runs.
So here we are, stalled in the middle of a desert and depending upon a girl to get us out. A girl who's probably never looked under the hood of a car in her life.
From Hollywood. The Salvation Army presents Heartbeat Theater. This is your host, Marvin Miller, welcoming you to another weekly drama about this world of ours, with its comedy and tragedy, happiness and sadness, hope and despair. And quite often, a world made more stable and serene through the unceasing care and concern of the Salvation Army, serving man in the service of God. Today's story stars Byron Kane in The Education of Mr. Phipps, written by John Eugene Hastie. Mr. Phipps is a self-made and highly successful businessman. Employed by him is Ted Dixon, public relations counselor. We first meet Mr. Dixon in his office.
Ted Dixon. Oh, yes, I've been expecting her. Ask her to come in. That's right. Say, what about Mr. Phipps' speech? Has it been typed yet? No, you're thinking of the third draft. I mean the fourth, the one with the new opening paragraph. Well, hurry up, will you? Mr. Phipps wants to see it before he leaves for the day. Come in. Well, let me know as soon as it's finished. Now, let's see. You're Miss Lindstrom, Linda Lindstrom from the Salvation Army, right?
Yes, sir. Major Wilcox sent me.
I know. I've already talked to the Major. Sit down, won't you?
Thank you.
I have a lot of details to take care of, so I'll make this brief. Tomorrow, we'll dedicate the new youth center at Westfield. The property was donated by Mr. Phipps. The center will be operated by the Salvation Army.
Mr. Phipps must be a wonderfully kind and generous man.
Well, yes. As you know, at the dedication ceremonies, he'll make the opening speech. Now, about your assignment, you'll wear your Salvation Army uniform, of course. There'll be reporters and photographers present. You'll help them get accurate information and photographs. Have you, you ever handled a job like that before?
Yes, I have.
Good. You and Mr. Phipps and I'll drive to Westfield tomorrow morning in my car. We leave from in front of this building at 9 o'clock. We should arrive in Westfield a good hour ahead of the dedication ceremonies. You'll have plenty of time to talk to the newsmen. Yes, what is it? That's right, I wrote a new opening paragraph for his speech. Well, tell Mr. Phipps I'll be in there and just... What? Oh, he's coming here. All right, thank you. Mr. Phipps has something to discuss with me, Miss Lindstrom. Would you mind waiting in the reception room until...
Say, Dixon, I've read the first two pages in there.
Oh, excuse me.
Mr. Phipps, this is Miss Lindstrom from the Salvation Army.
I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Phipps.
Are you? Why?
Because you're so generous in sharing your success with others.
What others?
Why, people in need.
I don't have dealings with people in need. They're stupid and irresponsible. If they weren't, they wouldn't be in need.
But things happen, you know, unfortunate things.
Not to an intelligent person. He sees to it that they don't happen.
But sometimes...
Miss Lindstrom, as I suggested, if you'll wait in the reception room...
Just a minute, Dixon. I think this young lady should be told a few solid facts. To begin with, I don't share anything with anybody. I don't make contributions. I make investments in propositions that I'm sure will pay off.
Pay off? In what way?
In money. Is there anything else more valuable?
Oh, yes, sir, happiness.
Well, what makes you think happiness is more valuable than money?
Because you can borrow money, but I never heard of anyone who could borrow happiness. And I don't see how you can call the youth center an investment.
You've got a lot to learn, young lady. A whole lot to learn.
You understand, Miss Lindstrom, we're very much aware that today's youngsters will constitute a large segment of tomorrow's market. So we make every effort to instill in them an attitude of goodwill toward our company.
Mr. Dixon here handles the fancy words. I have the know-how. And what I don't know isn't worth knowing. Can you drive a car, young lady?
Yes, sir.
Well, you might have to drive Dixon's car all the way to Westfield. It's possible that he and I will still be working on my speech. How fast are you driving, young lady?
We're averaging 55 miles an hour, Mr. Phipps.
Oh, nothing to worry about. We're on our way. We'll arrive at Westfield with time to spare. Your speech is the way you want it, and I'm sure it'll be favorably received.
I'm not worrying. Worry harms more people than well, hard work.
What do you say, Miss Lindstrom? Do you think worry harms more people than work?
Maybe. But it could be because more people worry than work.
Well, I don't. And you know why? Because I take precautions. Because I'm prepared at all times to prevent unexpected things happening. Say, what are you stopping for?
I'm sorry, but something's wrong with the car.
Yeah? I don't see anything wrong with the car.
It doesn't sound right. I think I better have a look.
Now you wait. You don't know anything about...
I'm just having a look.
But I tell you... Who is that girl, anyway?
I told you. Her name is Linda Lindstrom, and she...
I know her name, but who hired her? What's her background?
Well, nobody hired her, exactly. Major Wilcox of the Salvation Army suggested her. He assured me she's very capable.
Yes, I'm sure she is, when it comes to making herself neat and pretty in her Salvation Army uniform. No doubt she'll attract plenty of attention at the dedication ceremonies. If we ever get there...
We have 2 hours to get there, and we can make it in one.
Assuming we can find out what's wrong with the car and have it repaired. Now, you'd better get out and look at it yourself.
Well, what good would that do? All I know about a car is that you put gasoline in it and it runs.
So here we are, stalled in the middle of a desert, and depending upon a girl to get us out. A girl who's probably never looked under the hood of a car in her life.
Whatever's the matter, it can't be anything serious. 5 minutes ago, the car was running fine.
Well, I found it.
Well,
what's wrong?
What was it?
Nothing much, really.
I knew it.
It's a radiator hose. It's worn out, completely gone.
Well, what do we have to do?
We'll get a new one put in.
All right, we'll drive back to the service station we passed and have the thing fixed.
Oh, we can't do that. Running the motor without a radiator hose could cause all kinds of trouble.
Well, then we'll phone the service station.
From here? Where are you going to find a house with a phone? For that matter, where are you going to find a house?
But we've got to get the car moving.
Listen, I'll walk to the service station, buy the hose, and hire the station attendant to drive me back here. It's as simple as that.
So ends Act One of The Education of Mr. Phipps. Around the world, the Salvation Army is ready to help. If you were to contact them in Spain, you would hear,
Este es el Salvation Army. En que podemos ayudarlo?
Or in Germany, you would hear,
This is the Salvation Army. Kann ich Ihnen helfen?
In Italy,
Questa è la Salvation Army. Posso aiutare?
In France,
C'est la Salvation Army. Puis-je vous aider?
Or in the United States,
This is the Salvation Army. May I help you?
In Spanish, German, Italian, French, English, or 162 other different languages, the greeting is always the same. This is the Salvation Army. May I help you? Regardless of where you are in this world, or in what circumstances you find yourself, there is a Salvation Army representative who speaks your language and understands your problems. Language is no barrier. Need is the common bond. For the Salvation Army is always eager to serve those in need. As they practice the Christian principles of kindness, humility, and generosity. And now Act Two of The Education of Mr. Phipps, starring Byron Kane. The scene hasn't changed. A narrow, lonely road, winding across a dreary expanse of sagebrush and chaparral. At the side of the road stands a car. And inside the car...
Dixon should have been here by now. He should have been here a half hour ago.
It's a pretty long walk, Mr. Phipps.
But he has only to walk one way. The service station man will bring him back. Say, how much does a radiator hose cost?
I don't know for sure, but not much, a few dollars.
Yeah, I can't understand it. It doesn't make sense. A simple length of hose costing a couple of bucks, and it upsets everything.
Mr. Phipps, where are you going?
Outside to look around, if you have no objections.
No, sir, but I'll come with you.
There's no sign of Dixon. Not a car in sight except ours. It's a good thing there'll be two other speakers at the dedication. If I hadn't taken the precaution...
Mr. Phipps.
Huh?
Look up there ahead.
What? I don't see anything.
Back from the road.
Oh, you mean that field or something?
I don't think it's just an ordinary field. It looks like someone's raising vegetables.
So?
Well, if it's a vegetable garden, there must be somebody living close enough to take care of it. There must be a house. In spite of what Mr. Dixon said.
Well, what good will that do us?
Well, you could phone the service station and find out what's delaying him. He might be having some kind of difficulties.
I'm not concerned with his difficulties, if any. His or anybody else's.
But, Mr. Phipps...
And what's more, I have no intention of wandering around this wilderness and leaving you here all alone while I'm looking for a house. Especially if the house is a mere phantom.
Oh, that's easily fixed. I'll put a note in the car just in case Mr. Dixon does return before we do.
Before we do?
Yes, then both you and I can go look for the house.
Never take a walk like this again.
Well, we did find the house.
You made a lucky guess, that's all. Anyway, the house is deserted. Hey, what did I tell you? There's nobody here.
Well, try again. Please do.
We're wasting our time. Why would any rational person choose to live in a place like this?
Maybe because it's a good spot to grow vegetables.
Well, we're going back to the car. Dixon is bound to be there by this time, and we'll...
Listen, somebody's unlocking the door.
Now, look, you just let me do the talking. We don't know what kind of people live in this shack. Hey, good morning, madam. My name is Fitz, and...
K.P.S.U.S.T.E.D.?
I say I'm J.J. Fitz.
No comprendo.
We're in a little emergency.
No comprendo, inglés.
What's she talking about?
She's saying she doesn't understand English. You better try Spanish.
Spanish? I can't speak Spanish. You talk to her. Find out if she has a phone.
Ah, tiene usted uno teléfono, señora?
Oh, no. No tengo.
Señora? Señora, ¿qué pasa?
Preñada. Yo siento dolor.
What's she telling you?
She's pregnant. She's going to have a baby, and I think it's already started.
A baby?
Don't look so surprised, Mr. Fitz. It's nothing unusual. It happens quite often.
Well, we've got to do something. Call a doctor.
She hasn't a phone, and I doubt that she has a doctor.
Well, ask her.
Señor, ¿tiene usted uno médico?
Sí, pero vive muy lejos.
She does have a doctor.
Okay.
But he lives a long way from here.
Now, wait a second. Where's her husband? Out there picking vegetables?
¿Dónde está su esposo, señora?
En la ciudad.
Oh, in the city. By this time, he's probably delivering the vegetables.
Oh, how did we ever get into this? Tangled up in something that isn't any of our business.
Mr. Phipps, when someone needs help, it's the business of anybody who can give it. And right now, that's us. Mr. Dixon.
Yeah. Surprise.
I was beginning to think something had happened to you.
Something has happened to me. Everything's happened to me.
Mr. Dixon.
In the first place, I had to wait while the service station attendant finished with another customer, then wait some more while he searched through his stock for radiator hose.
Mr. Dixon.
And to top it off, he wouldn't drive me back to the car. He said the service station was a one-man operation and he couldn't leave.
I think I'd better come outside and close the door. You found my note all right?
Yes, but never mind about it now. Here's the radiator hose. You can install it, can't you?
I think so. Only not in time for Mr. Phipps to deliver a speech. You see, he's helping me to deliver a baby.
The J.J. Phipps Company? Oh, yes, Mr. Waldron. Mr. Dixon is right here in the reception room. You can use the other phone, Mr. Dixon.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Steve. How's the hard-working city editor? Oh, come on now. Without you, the Morning Courier would sink into oblivion. You heard what? Yes, that's correct as far as it goes. Mr. Phipps did not attend the dedication. He was unavoidably detained elsewhere. Well, I suggest you ask him the reason why. Wait a second, I'll find out if he's here. Miss Fleming, has Mr. Phipps come in yet?
Yes, sir, but he isn't taking calls.
Steve, he's here, but he isn't talking. Well, I can tell you if you'll give me your word you won't print it till you've checked with him, okay? Well, Mr. Phipps didn't attend the dedication because at the time he was delivering a baby. That's what I said, Steve.
delivering a baby. Well, it happened on our way to the dedication. What do you mean, why didn't he pick some other time? It's the baby that does the picking. Yeah, I was there. In fact, after we got our stalled car fixed, I went for the ambulance. Look, Steve, why don't you hold the story until you've talked to Mr. Phipps? Right. Well, I'll let you know when he's available.
You know what's funny?
Huh? What is?
Well, Mr. Phipps' attitude toward this whole thing. A man who's built a nationwide business, yet when he came in this morning, well, to hear him, you'd think what happened to him yesterday was the greatest event in his life.
Well, what I'd like to know is...
Yes, Mr. Phipps? Yes, sir, I'll tell him. Mr. Phipps wants to see you in his office right away.
Yes, come in. Ah, good morning, Dixon. How's the baby doing?
Very well, I understand.
And the mother?
Well, I presume she's doing all right, too.
Where are they now?
Still in the hospital, I believe.
Are you aware that Miss Lindstrom has served in several hospitals?
Well, I guessed as much, yes.
Sit down, Dixon. Now, when you first went to work here, you told me you're a university graduate.
Well, that's right. I have a Ph.D. degree.
Mm-hmm. And do you consider yourself an educated man?
Well, yes. Yes, I do.
Yet, when I asked you four simple questions, you failed to correctly answer any of them.
But your questions didn't apply to educational subjects, had no connection with learning.
My dear Dixon, learning is not confined to what's in your head. It also concerns what's in your heart.
I mean, you asked about elemental, everyday, commonplace matters, relatively unimportant.
It's precisely the elemental, everyday, commonplace things that are important. Have you ever imagined what the world would be without sympathy, without compassion?
Well, I...
Have you ever stopped to realize what one small, ordinary kindness may mean to someone in need?
Well, frankly, I can't say that I have.
Oh, that's too bad. That's really too bad. But then you're still a young man, Dixon. And if I can start learning at my age, there's a chance for you.
Final act of John Eugene Hastie's story, The Education of Mr. Phipps, produced at the C.P. McGregor Studios in Hollywood. Starring Byron Kane, other guest stars were Dick Nelson, Janet Waldo, and Ann Whitfield. Please join us again next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Until then, on behalf of the Salvation Army, this is your host, Marvin Miller, wishing you a very pleasant week.